Okay, good morning everyone. You're listening to UCC 98.3 FM. This is Jack Walsh, joined by...
Cian Walsh.
No relation, I don't think, that we know
not
of.
Not that we know of, at least.
And you're listening to Pol Talk, which is brought to you by the UCC Government and Politics Society. So coming up on the show today, we're going to do a little recap, I think, on the year that has been GovPol, because we have a new committee in place since our EGM. We're going to do a fake news segment.
We are, yeah.
We'll kick that off in a minute, and we're going to talk about a few other politics, and there'll be some music thrown in as well. So Cian, I think, has a first slot up for us.
I do, Jack. I have, well, I guess with so many elections coming up and lots of misinformation in the media, I've prepared a bit of a fake news segment. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Some of these stories aren't exactly politics related.
No, that's okay. This is
for the fun. So I have about five stories for you, and I want you to tell me whether this is true or if it's fake news.
Literally in the hot seat more than...
you are in the hot seat, yeah. So first news story. Italian city to ban ice cream and pizza after midnight under new proposed law. Is it true or is it fake news?
That could be, well, depending which Italian city. I mean, they're charging tourists, though, to go into some of them.
No hints, Jack.
No hints. Jesus, for Wednesday morning, you're putting me right in it. I'll go true with this one. We'll start with true.
It is true. So it's Milan. They tried once in 2013, and now basically, yeah, they're trying to get a late night ban on ice cream eaters, basically get ice cream eaters off its streets. So it could come into effect next month. So if anyone's visiting Milan,
get your ice cream now.
Get your ice cream in the day. Don't be having it in the middle of the night.
Anyone coming out of the clubs will be greatly disappointed with the pizza.
That's it. And I'm going to stay kind of on the food theme. So true or fake news, a village in France has decided to implement a ban on the sale and consumption of croissants on Mondays to encourage healthier eating habits among residents.
Well, you see, this is a tricky one, though, because French and their croissants, it'd be like, I'm going to say false with this, but it could be true, too.
Oh, you're too good at this. It is false. Okay. I don't think that that a French village could survive
without croissants.
How could you get through a Monday without a croissant?
I think...
I never say that right, but anyways.
I think, I would be surprised if they did it. I'm sure they'd be protesting about it.
We would see the yellow vests coming out in force, I think. Okay, your third one. For today is we're going back to Italy.
Okay.
I feel very like Mediterranean with these news stories.
That's all right.
An island off the coast of Sicily has started donating its 600 goats, due to it overwhelming the human population there.
What did I do? True. Let's go true again.
It's true.
So there's
600 goats on the island, human population of 100. Basically, like, they're like donating them as gifts to, I don't know, like residents and anybody that wants a goat. It's free goats all round.
Free goats, okay.
Free goats all round.
If it's puppies or something, maybe, but I don't know about a goat.
Whatever works for people. But apparently, yeah, they've been destroying the landscape there. People are like scared of them coming into their houses and stuff. I mean, like,
they need to do that with the deer in Killarney.
My mind was going to the sheep in Kerry now.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd say I
mutton and venison pie. No, is that a
look? I mean, if anyone wants to start a goat farm, anyways,
that's your place.
That's your place. Don't buy the animals. Just
get them
just,
for free.
Just get them from. I think it's Elucidi, but my Italian or Sicilian.
We won't go there.
Okay. Staying on the theme of animals. These are very themed. My God.
That's all right.
A tourist in Norway is fined for getting too close to a walrus.
Walrus. This is anyone I'm trying to think of. Is there a walrus? Let's go. True.
It is true. God, I might have made these too easy. So it's
and I didn't have prior knowledge.
No prior knowledge. Really, really not. because of the prep that goes into the show. Anyways, a tourist was fined 12,500 Norwegian kroner, I think it's pronounced, which is about 1,000 euro, for approaching a walrus in the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard. So basically, there's a law against disturbing wildlife. And I guess that breached it. That's a lot of money for getting too close to an animal. But I don't know if there's more to the story. But yeah, you can be fined for getting
throwing stuff at the animal or the walrus or something.
If you're in Svalbard, do not go near a walrus.
Or any wildlife, it sounds like.
I'd be probably, like, I'm not sure what I'd be more scared of, like getting like attacked or like the fine.
It'd be having to clear the bank account out.
They don't pay. They don't. My part-time work does not pay me enough to have 1,000 euros to go to see a walrus. And I have a last one.
Okay.
This last one. So an Antarctic research station has reported this discovery of a new species of penguin that can fly short distances.
I'm going to say that's false.
That is false. I haven't seen any flying penguins. I was in Dingle over the weekend, and my family dragged me to the aquarium, so I did see penguins recently, and maybe that's why it was in my mind it up as a very, very cool story.
I don't think it was the flying caught me, I think.
Yeah. I should have really left it at a new
penguin species.
But look... so that's your fake news segment.
I think I did it quite well in that.
I think that Jack needs to work for some sort of tech company.
Spotting fake news, isn't it?
Spotting fake news. I think, you get well paid for that, to be fair, so...
I think it would be all spent on therapy sessions for the sons of... Not with those, but just in general, anyone who does the content moderation, it's a tough job. But I think obviously that was a light-hearted segment, but there is a serious message behind that, and that is the impact of fake news on the politics. Well, just more life in general. I mean, you see it even with, celebrity stories, and it's just...
Exactly how things can kind of go from...
Yes, but I mean, we've seen it even in terms of the previous US election, where the Russian... bots were, I suppose, accused of seeking to undermine the election. And even I was looking at something over the weekend, and the Indian election, the voting is ongoing at the moment there. And the AI is having a huge impact in terms of very realistic videos that people are being sent to encourage them to vote one way or the other, or not vote, as some may cases. So it is something to...
I think AI and elections is going to be a major challenge in the years ahead. And I guess there's no proper... way to kind of get around that at the moment, and definitely be interesting when it's such a big election year.
Yes, a huge election year for them. So that, I think we'll, in a minute, we'll play some music and we will come back and talk about elections as we segued onto it. So we're going to start the music selection this week by Brazil, by Declan McKenna. Keen is very interested to hear my music taste.
I am intrigued.
We get him some as well.
to play some beautiful game while I'm in Brazil. Cause it's all you've ever wanted, and it's all that you want still. Don't you want to play the beautiful game out in Brazil?
And that was What You Know by Two Door Cinema Club, one of Kian's picks for the day.
I do like Two Door Cinema Club quite a lot.
Good choice. So before we just finished up talking about the fake news section and the impact it could have on elections, so we're going to talk about the European elections and the local elections in Ireland, which are the next kind of big calendar event in Ireland in terms of electoral being on the 7th of June.
Basically Christmas to a political science student. I mean, it's Christmas in June.
I'm thinking, you know, sports fans get excited about, like, say, the big All-Ireland or the Champions League match.
Yeah, the Euros are in June. This is where it's at.
Yeah, I've already had this conversation at home about trying to move a family holiday from so that we could vote.
No.
So I am going to be able to vote, but the conversation was interesting.
I can imagine, because of course you can't vote by postal vote if you're on holiday. No. It's not valid.
No. So that was suggested, and I said no, it doesn't count, unfortunately. So there was a compromise. We're going on the 7th, but we'll be able to vote in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the most important thing.
Yes, but the from unnamed family members, the eyes I was getting when I said it, said I needed to be here. They were
would be a shame. You disgrace of a political science student.
That's what I was trying to impart, and being on the committee again next year, couldn't not
I
vote.
Think we'd have to impeach.
That's what I'd be thinking, like, with a sense of Ankh vote coming very quickly.
Anyways.
Yesterday, I think we had the finalised list of candidates.
We do have the finalised list of candidates. Do you have any guess of how many candidates there are for the European elections, Jack?
Well, I do have it written down.
Do you have it in front of you?
Thank you to Gavin Riley. No.
So 74 candidates.
Yes.
But they have until midday today to withdraw.
Oh, so we could.
It could go down. There's a couple of people on the list I've never heard of.
Okay, yes, me
Potentially
too.
Potentially consider that. Sorry, that's a bit mean, but...
No. Maybe invest if they want their deposit back.
Put it to like a charity or something worthwhile.
It's an ego run, some of it.
Some of it is an ego run. Anyways, and there are 14 seats in total across the country, if I'm not mistaken.
One up on the last time we got
one
next
up on the last time.
The Brexit.
That is very true. 4 for Dublin and 5 for Midlands Northwest and the South constituency. And I think there's 23 candidates in our constituency.
There is indeed.
And we'll be voting on Friday, the 7th of June. I have a question for you, Jack.
Okay.
What do you... I was looking at this very recently about the days of the week that people in Europe vote. What do you think about voting on a Friday? Is that... Are you like...
It's a tricky one, because I suppose it technically is not a bad day. It's definitely better than a Monday. I think a Monday is a no-no if you're going during the week. Friday, yes, because people, you know, tend to maybe finish up work slightly earlier, hopefully, on a Friday. There is always this kind of, I suppose, argument between whether you should have it at a weekend or during the week, in terms of catering for people who are working and that. And I still don't know, because I think it does depend. Sometimes, you know, you try and look back historically at it, and there is arguments for not doing it at a weekday and doing it at the weekend. But then you can point to an example where the opposite was in the case, and there was a higher turnout during the week than at the weekend, potentially. So I don't know. Fridays works for me, but I don't know.
As good as any other day, I guess.
Probably better than doing it midweek. And also you get the week. Now, the only thing about it this year is that I think I was seeing there that we won't be getting the results for the Europeans until Monday. The first, because we have the locals.
Local elections and so many seats and so much counting to do for the local elections.
I feel very sorry for anyone who's in a count centre.
Well,
they'll be busy.
Yeah, they'll be busy, but well paid.
Yeah. Do you think I'm well paid?
I think about like 400 euro for the day. It's like best paid like Psychic, day of work ever.
Loads of people taking holidays to go.
Stay at home, get yourself into a count centre.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. The applications for count centres are open at the moment. I think in some places, certainly for Cork County, I'm not sure if it's closed now or not, but it was open.
You're well informed, which makes me think you're either considering it or doing it.
Well, we'll see. Apparently, it's first come, first serve, and I think I was pretty near the start, but
okay, so
I'll watch my email inbox.
We have an inside scoop into what a constituency.
Well,
no,
I don't want to be fired either.
Okay. After you can come in and tell us all after.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think you'll be fired after the process to see how it works.
I'm very interested to see like what it would actually be like to be in there, especially when it's going to be such an interesting and maybe potentially divisive election. We've got a lot of Just the range of candidates is actually phenomenal.
It's so nearly outstanding. Kind of, it's mind-boggling in some cases.
It's mind-boggling. We've got a couple of notable figures, I guess. Ciarán Mullooly is running for Independent Ireland in Midlands Northwest.
I saw that.
I'm not sure what I should say. To be honest. I mean, Ciarán Mullooly, quite well known.
Yeah.
Former broadcaster for RTE. I think it'll be interesting to see how he fares and how Independent Ireland as a party fares. Even in the local elections, Independent Ireland is fielding more candidates than People Before Profit Solidarity. So it's a substantial party in terms of how many candidates are going to be running
100%.
For their first election cycle. And also we have Peter Casey for Midlands Northwest as well, has announced.
He's back again.
He's back.
I did groan inwardly when I saw that.
My goodness. So
in the paper, I was like, oh, please, Peter.
I only saw it recently because I think he left it a while to announce.
He did leave it quite late. And the other one, the Independent Ireland, Niall Boylan
on the radio show. Classic hits.
Yeah, the Niall Boylan show.
Will you be running for Independent Ireland, Jack, our in-house
media. Well, you're here too, Cian. Yeah, we're on either side of a table. UCC 98.3 FM's candidate for the...
Independent Ireland is kind of an interesting one. They do have a Google form, or did anyways, have a Google form if you wanted to run for them. So on their website, they're professional, as you can imagine.
Dripping with sarcasm, no we won't.
This is a politically neutral show. Not politically neutral, non-partisan. God,
delicious. I think we're allowed to have our own opinions.
But yeah, so Peter Casey's running as well, former presidential candidate. I think he came second when he ran in 2018.
He did, on the back of some controversial comments. People argued about the traveller community, but that's maybe something not to go into.
maybe not for today's show. He did run in 2019's European election and in the general election in 2020 as well. And he is
needless to say, he's still around.
We
love a trier.
So of course he's a businessman. We have some businessmen running in the Cork. Well, I don't know about some, but we have
John Mullins.
We've John Mullins, businessman running in Ireland South for Fine Gael, joined by sitting MEP currently Sean Kelly. Mm-hmm. We have Green Party's Grace O'Sullivan, who's also incumbent, along with Mick Wallace of Independence for Change. So
Billy Kelleher too.
Billy Kelleher for Fianna Fáil. So four of the incumbents are running. I think Deirdre Clune is the only not bowing out at this point. There's only one bowing out at this point. And then we have Labour candidates Niamh Harrigan, Susan Doyle for Social Democrats, People Before Profit, Cian Prendeville, and AIM2 is running Patrick Murphy. Oh, and we also have Cork City Councillor Lorna Bogue.
We do.
And Rarita.
An interesting running again for the council as well. So that's kind of like her fail safe if she doesn't.
Fails. I can't imagine running two campaigns at
there's a way of doing it, I suppose, but I was interested that does it say something about what she thinks about her chances for
I think I'm exhausted from the students' union elections. I can't imagine.
Oh, God, yes. No, trying to do two is... we do have our own kind of mini celebrity candidate in Cynthia Numerica, who hosted the Eurovision.
That is. Very true, yes, for running for Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, second candidate with Billy Kelleher.
Yes, yes. So it'll be an interesting field. It'll be interesting to see how many people get re-elected or don't get re-elected.
And the breakdown of the votes and all of this, I think the transfers to the preferences will be huge part of it.
Exactly.
Because the big one that I'm interested in watching is the Fianna Fáil in the Midlands Northwest, because they have three candidates running. Barry Conn, Neil Blaney, and Lisa Chambers. There was a bit of, I suppose, controversy is probably the right word when at that convention, because Conn was selected and then Blaney and Chambers were added onto the ticket. And there are a lot of people not happy that there's three candidates running.
A lot.
Yes. And so there is potential scenario where none of them get elected because they've split the Fianna Fáil vote.
There's also potential for a by-election, I guess,
yes,
isn't there?
There is, and there was, that's another school of thought, is that they added the party headquarters, added the other two to make sure the Cowan didn't get elected, so they'd avoid a government by-election.
Wow.
Because the other TD running, there's one or two other TDs, but in Éan Ordóin obviously isn't a government TD, he's running in Dublin.
Yes.
So it would be interesting, but I suppose with the 6 months... what time window to hold the election? You know, that's kind of early December. Then would there be an early general?
Will there be an early general election? It'll be interesting. I guess the insistence has been no to this point. I know parties like Sinn Féin looking for a general election. I actually didn't mention Sinn Féin in my list of candidates there. So we've Senator Paul Gavin and Kathleen Funcheon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and sitting TD.
Yes. If I'm right. Both running for Sinn Féin as well. So I guess I'll ask you, Jack, what do you think are the key issues for the next few weeks that are going to be debated when it comes to
the European
elections, particularly in Ireland? Well,
because you see, two answers to this, because as a political student, you would be focused more on the European issues. But the general public seem to always tend to be more interested in the national issues than the Europeans. They don't quite... Yeah. And especially if you look at the candidates, the way they're running their campaigns, it's very much... national issues play a huge part of it. That's not to say there's an overlap, because there is a huge overlap, especially on issues like migration, climate. The EU has competencies in that, but you know, in housing, while there is certain things the EU can do, there isn't a whole lot. That's more of a national competency.
Yeah.
So I do feel that, you know, there is a part of me is thinking, you know, we need to focus on what they can actually do in Europe, not what they think they can do or would like to be able to do.
Yeah.
Very different things.
Sometimes I'm like, I wish I had a magic wand.
Yeah. Get them to focus on what Europe actually does. But, you know, I suppose it doesn't excite people as much as a general election, because Europe is kind of this faraway place.
It feels far away, yeah.
And we have a very high level of satisfaction in Ireland with Europe, which is fantastic. But it does, I think, lead to a certain amount of complacency. We're kind of thinking, you know, that's grand. It's not impacting us too much. We're happy to leave it as it is.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case, because people do have strong opinions on where it should go, they're not as engaged with it about.
That's for sure. And I guess they also always seem to have a consistent passion of lower turnout.
100%.
When it comes to European and local elections. So I guess, like, what do you think you'd say to young people that maybe aren't at, like, don't, you know,
well,
aren't
don't
pushed
care.
On,
yeah.
On voting?
You know, especially for students, Erasmus, you know, is Europe, there's a whole lot, and climate, which is a huge issue for younger people, not that it's not for older people, but I think if you were to generalise, it probably is. So for young people, it's to vote. I mean, because we're both politics students, it kind of confounds us a little bit that people don't vote, but people don't, and we don't have mandatory voting, unlike our Australian
Do
friends.
Do you think we should go to that?
That is a whole different question.
That is a different, we could be here a while.
Yes, we'll do maybe a Poll Talk special on mandatory voting.
I think we could do a Poll Talk special on voting as a whole.
Yes.
Should we be voting online like Estonia? Should we be, I don't know.
No, I think there is a lot to be said for not going to the polling station if there is a way of doing it through an online portal. I mean, there's so much of, I mean, we nearly bank online almost. I mean, I haven't been to a bank physically in a long time. And so if we're happy to trust the online sphere with that, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do it with the voting. No, it's not straightforward because... So as we've seen with the HSE, if the systems aren't up to scratch, they can be hacked. Yes, that's another one not to get into. But to the issues, I mean, that's where I think the confusion is with Europe, and especially when the locals are being held on the same day, they can be conflated, two.
There's literally two complete kind of different sets of issues, I guess, really. And with the local elections, I understand that Fianna Fáil is running the most candidates.
Okay.
They're the largest party in local government at the moment. I don't know if they'll retain it or not.
Remains to be seen. Independent voters, I think what everyone's watching, you know, the Sinn Féin vote too, but the independent is kind of, they're the new kids on the block.
They are the new kids on the block. And how
Maybe the old kids on the block, considering they're...
A lot of incumbents have aligned themselves now with Independent Ireland or are going other routes, but...
The new party.
The new party, yes. will be very interesting.
And some of the important dates that I have from Cork City Council, the closing date for inclusion in the postal vote, not if you're going on holidays, as we
it does not count.
It is Saturday the 11th of May. And the closing date for inclusion in the electoral register, so check it first, and if you're not on it, add yourself.
Yes.
Takes less than, I think, a minute.
Yep.
90 seconds was the promo we were running last year. PPS
unless
number,
you
error
have
code.
Slow Wi-Fi, unless yes. you live in a rural, rural area.
Like doing it in your student accommodation should be okay.
You should be fine.
The last day for that is the 20th of May. So
register to vote.
Yes,
and it's honestly my biggest ick when I tell people, when I ask, oh, you know, are you going to vote? And they're like, I haven't registered.
Yeah, and then like, part of us dies inside.
Part of me dies.
But you know, people are well able to have an opinion on it, and I feel my own personal view is that if you don't vote, you're not as entitled to that opinion as you know.
Concur. I really do.
Just so we have some. We haven't disagreed on that one so far.
No, absolutely not.
Second part
don't
of the
vote,
show, we can
don't give out. Like, if you vote, you can give out about as much as you want. Vent.
Yes, vent. Okay, I think we may play some ads. I'm looking at my screen and it's telling me to play if they listen, and if not, we'll go to music and we'll be back with more politics in a minute.
So exciting.
No, and I don't think the ads are working this morning. Oh, so we're going to go to music this time. And
will people do for a promotion?
Problem.
and we're back again. That was Cage the Elephant with Cold, 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 the three colds, and we're not cold this morning.
We're not. It's kind of like,
well, it's
okay.
It's
and apparently the weather's on the up for the next couple of days, so my seasonal depression will be resolved again, temporarily.
Don't call the vet. July is often one where it kind of comes back and we're thinking.
It is. Yeah. Can't even go on holidays at the start of June now, you know.
We were laughing in the when the music was playing that we were getting messages from our fans.
Our fans.
A big shout out, another one to, so big hello to Alice and Caitlin, I think, who's listening in as well. I got one from as well. So.
Oh, goodness.
we're after putting pressure on us now. We shouldn't have looked at our messages until.
No, not at all. The phones should be banned.
For the last 20 minutes, we're going to split it into two sections, we were saying there. So we're going to maybe talk about a bit about the society and the news that's happening and what has happened for the year. And we'll finish off with some UK politics, given that it's always entertaining us, especially as Irish. I'd hate to be living there, but
I know. God.
Do sympathise with all our UK friends.
Outside the EU? Oh, my.
So, government politics. Society had a good year?
A good year, a busy year. I'm looking here now currently at the Instagram. When you actually look at it all together, the amount of stuff, the amount of events that really were hosted, a lot of debates. We had our gala. We had.
I missed, unfortunately, but I was crying. Enjoy inside.
There's always this year. November.
Yeah, that's what it was. On my last one, though, so we'll have to show up.
An event with the Electoral Commission, the Careers Fair. We were doing course hoodies. We of course have Paul Talk as
we
well.
We do. And you missed the MEP hustings we held, you and I moderated.
Which was. I really enjoyed that as an event. And I'm going to ask you, Jack, what was your highlight of the year?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this. And I was thinking, it's like trying to pick a favorite. I think it was probably the MEP hustings for me.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think it was just, I mean, we had a full room. We had another, you know, I think there was 60, say mid-60s in the room. And then there was about the same online.
Yeah.
You can see the views going up afterwards, so people are watching it back. You can check it in on the link tree if you haven't, if you didn't see it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, the film on and with Mairead McGuinness was good too, but that was, we were only helping the department. Mm-hmm. That's their project that they run every year. But there was, you were in a red t-shirt. I missed the red t-shirts. There was only four of them.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Happy accident.
The shame. Yeah.
You got your photo with the commissioner, though, so I think it was worth it.
I did get my photo with Commissioner Mairead McGuinness. So
always good to have, I mean, whatever you think politically, I think it's always nice to have the big hitters on campus.
It is.
As there'll be a few more of them next year, hopefully.
Yes, and potentially in government and politics society events.
Definitely.
Because we're both on the society next
year.
We are.
They're stuck with us again.
We have our amazing new chair, Baromi, and our vice chair, Alice.
Yes, there'll be no pressure on them, but they'll be fully confident they're going to do a fantastic job.
Oh my gosh, they're probably going to be bossing us around.
Not at all. No, I think...
No, they won't.
He's giving me the eyes.
I'm just
and
saying
thinking.
Hi to Alice on who's listening. That's all.
Throwing subtle shade when she can't reply.
It's really funny. I wouldn't want anyone else. So
no, we're very lucky, and there's a fantastic team who are very enthusiastic about hitting the ground running, and we have literally hit the ground running because we are applications open for the editor-in-chief of Polity. The society's magazine and kind of broadcasting arm, because we do not just magazine, the website, and a few videos, and the radio show is part of it too, as it is with the society. Busy.
And I ask you, Jack, because you've been involved in policy.
Well, it's how I got involved with the society to begin
with. It's almost the way round. So
it is actually.
I guess what I'd ask you is because the editor in chief is kind of, the applications are open for that.
They are indeed.
What would be involved in that role if anyone's listening that would be interested?
Well, the first thing is, I suppose, you don't necessarily have to have an interest in politics. It is, I would say, you know, vital, but we are open to anyone who has an interest in journalism, say, shall we say. Kian's laughing to himself, thinking, no, we need someone who's interested
in
politics.
It's not important, but it's vital.
I suppose what I'm saying is it's something you could learn. You know, it's not a prerequisite.
We will indoctrinate.
Yeah, it is the UCC's political magazine, so you do need to, you know, have some idea of what's going on. You need to know your MEPs, for example.
Yeah,
what that is. And so it is involved. I suppose the main thing is it publishes the magazine, which has been published once a year for the last few years. It was rebranded in 2022, which was the year I was involved with it, from a journal to a magazine.
Okay.
Which is kind of more inclusive in terms of it's not just articles that you will submit for your assignments. It's anything more broadly you'd like to write on in politics.
That's code for it's more interesting.
Yeah. And there's no references.
Yeah.
100% agree on the more interesting. So it's pretty much, in terms of anyone who's interested in politics, I think it's like the ideal job because you can basically get to talk to any of the politicians. They're much more inclined to do interviews with you if you say you're coming from a magazine or from a radio show with the society. I certainly had previous experience with that. We got to interview Roberto Metsola, who is the president of the European Parliament, for the moment, maybe not after the election. Bertie Ahern, David Runciman, quite a few interesting local candidates, and then some TDs. So it does give you that, but it's not, I mean, that's kind of from a purely personal point of view in terms of getting to meet these people, but from and not, it just to foster this kind of greater sense of political awareness, which is what the society is all about on campus. But it's, I suppose, it's incorporated in the online side, which is the website and the social media, and then the physical, which is the print magazine, which comes out once a year, with the option to go more if you feel like that's something you want to do.
Yeah.
And the radio show, which is kind of the society and the magazine.
Yes, bit of a crossover.
So if I want to read policy right now,
I can go see it through.
Well, you can look at it online first and foremost. It's on the link tree in the society and the polity, which has its own Instagram. So you'll be managing that if you're an editor. But you can also pick up copies. There should be a few left in the library and Sachs office of the most recent edition.
We'll run to get them.
You run. Run being the word. I'm surprised.
Oh my God, I see people running to the Sachs office outside the radio. Go Keen get them now.
10 out of 10 for Keen be hyping us all.
Run.
So in terms of applying for the role, you don't necessarily need to have huge journalist experience. When I got deputy editor in 2022 and had only been involved with my school magazine beforehand. But, you know, if you don't have journalist experience, well, then the politics experience is a must. Mm-hmm. But if you have more journalist experience in terms of if you've been writing for, say, the other college papers or societal magazines, that's probably, you know, would cancel out if you don't have as much interest in politics, but would
that,
like
that
to.
Means go make your mistakes somewhere else and then come here.
100%. Although we're open to making the mistakes as long as they're not seen. And the internet is great these days because you can correct something in a few. And it is fantastic about, you know, there's a lot of excitement in terms of what you can do with the role, because you will be able to appoint a subcommittee to help you, and then you can have lots of volunteers. I don't think there's a limit on that. So.
Oh wow! Okay, God.
We could indoctrinate
all of your friends.
Exactly. Yeah, and not friends. We don't want to be accused of being cliquey.
Yes, exactly. Very important.
So no, it is applications close on the 17th, and you can apply by the Google form, which is in the link tree on both the Instagram accounts.
Perfect. And is there like an interview process?
Yes. The form is quite in depth in terms of, you know, we ask you what you would like to do with the role, what previous experience you have, what you'd like to do differently, because that's always interesting to see. It kind of is more revealing nearly than people what they want to do. And yeah, you can be harsh with the criticisms. Don't be. We're not a bit sensitive to it. And then there will be, if there's more than one applicant, which we hope there will be. I know. We'll die inside if there isn't. I mean, lucky them if there is only one, but I hope there is someone applies. We could be left with nobody, which is such a sad thought.
Gosh.
But not, we had oversubscribed at the AGM for people running for positions, so we're going to, I'm being positive. So then there will be an interview process panel being made up of existing committee members, former editor-in-chiefs, who will interview you. We're not scary. That sounds very...
Jaunting. Very scary. Yeah, even sitting across from him now, I'm very intimidated.
Keegan's in no eye contact, isn't that?
I can't. I'm looking down at my. No.
So no, we are very nice, and very it's good to have a semi-professional, but we won't be too intimidating with it. We're very open to hearing people's ideas and stuff. Yes. With it. So the 17th is that.
17th is the deadline.
Yes.
The okay.
Deadline. So you still have time. We wanted to give people an extra week after the exams finish on the 10th.
Yes.
Just because it's not high on people's priority now for those.
No,
doing
I can imagine not. To be fair.
No. So please do apply for that, and we'll be part of the society next year with the great team, and it is a full position on the committee, which is important to say. You're full committee member, which is a nice, you don't have to run at the AGM to be on the committee.
Yes.
You can get it appointed.
You can get it appointed
through the back door, which is
no big speech.
No. No, in front of your peers, which is always a bit daunting, but
it is.
Has to be done. I think before we finish up, we have a few minutes left, we might talk about some UK politics, because as ever, there is a lot happening there.
Mm-hmm, there is a lot happening there. I'm looking at the list of stuff I have in front of me. It's a little bit scary.
Yes, there could be a shows, plural, spent on that.
There is, but there is one area that I just want to start with,
yep,
because it's of pressing importance, Jack, and it's the London mayor election.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
And of course, we have Sadiq Khan.
Yep.
If I'm pronouncing names wrong, I apologise.
Sadiq.
Who's running for his third term.
He is indeed.
And then we've Susan Hall, really, are the main two kind of candidates.
main two in quotation marks because of Susan.
Exactly. There is another candidate that's very important to me, Jack.
Count Binface. How did I know?
Oh, my God. Right. I had a look at the manifesto of Count Binface. And there are some points that I think we need to bring here.
Throw them at me.
One of them is that loud snacks are to be banned from theatres.
Yes, agree on that one.
I think this needs to be applied to the Boole Library as well.
No eating in the Boole.
No, like, please.
Unless I have, as someone who, yeah, no, actually, no eating in the
Boole.
Yeah.
If it's like popcorn or something, or like, seriously.
I think you should be allowed an energy bar or a snack allowed.
Yes.
But nothing that smells or nothing that...
Nothing that smells.
Yeah.
Nothing that you're going to eat with your mouth open. And nothing that's too crunchy. Please stop doing it. It is too annoying. And I can't do any of my social policy analysis study for my one exam this whole semester.
Which is very important.
But no, he has some good, great policies.
I don't know, did you see his parody of the David Cameron video, you know, when he was in the NATO headquarters, the piece to camera where he's walking very kind of, yeah. And so Binface did that in Westminster, I must say nearly as well as Dave Cameron, which is...
And I just need, like, the listeners to understand exactly who, like, if you get a chance, look up who Count Baneface is, because...
It's a man in a bin.
He's wearing a bin. Like, honestly...
You'll have seen him. If you know anything about politics, you'll know. Yeah. And if you don't, look at him, because it is funny.
He describes himself as an intergalactic space warrior who's 5,072 years old in Earth years, which is a lot of experience.
Oh, and he trolls the candidates... Fantastically.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, there is a serious side to it too, in that, like, he does, it is a humorous take on politics, and some people don't agree with that. But I do think he does raise important issues and get them on. You know, it's not to say that, like, he is a niche candidate. And I wouldn't have, be paying too much attention to him.
No,
but it is funny.
To be fair, but I've been paying more attention to him than the rest.
Yeah.
He did come 9th out of 20 the last time.
Yeah, which is very respectable, considering there is quite a lot of candidates run in the interim. But I think the odds are on that Sadiq will be re-elected.
Yes, that looks like how it's going to be. Sadiq is ahead in the polls.
Considering, the Labour are, I think, 20 percentage points ahead of the Tories in the local elections, could be not good viewing for anyone who is a Tory voter.
Yes.
The voting's Thursday, which is...
Tomorrow.
Yes,
I know. I didn't realise. I was writing down in my notes.
next week.
Local elections are 2nd of May. I was like, that's
ages away. Yeah. It's tomorrow. Yeah, 1st of May today.
Tomorrow.
We will be looking at it for the next few days, all the results, but I don't think any major surprises.
No.
The ones to watch will be some of the other mayoral ones. The Conservatives are looking to unseat Andy Street and some of the other, but I think... There will be no huge surprises in terms of that the Labour will have the most.
Labour will make gains.
Yes. And it will just depend on how much and what happens to Mr. Sunak after it.
It will.
Yeah, will there be a heave against him? The Conservative Party love sharpening the knife and wielding it. Much to their own detriment. It's usually they stab their leader and the party in the back.
Yeah.
Or the front.
Everywhere,
yes,
I think.
So whether Mr. Sunak can hold on for another couple of months or will be
remains
dispatched.
To be seen.
Yes, but I would be surprised if there isn't some moves, but whether they'll actually materialise into a fully formed vote with the necessary letters remains to be seen. I think there's an awful lot of Conservative MPs who realise how stupid that will be.
Yeah.
Although putting sensible and conservative in the one sentence is slightly more tricky of latter years given the track record.
And I guess speaking of people being removed from their office.
Yes, I knew where this is going
this
next.
This is a good I think that was impressive.
Good segue.
We're going to Scotland.
We are indeed, up north.
I am up north. So you can correct me now. I also... Is it Humza Yousaf?
Yeah, Humza Yousaf.
Humza Yousaf
is no longer
First Minister.
Well, First Minister, but no longer leader of the SNP.
No longer leader of the SNP. He's still First Minister until a successor is implemented. So I guess if you don't know, basically the Scottish government went to ditch its target of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 75% by 2030. That was because the government believed that it was out of reach. And basically, the Scottish Greens ended up...
They were not happy.
They were not impressed.
So they were going to vote their members about leaving the agreement because it was a kind of a semi-coalition agreement with the SNP Bute House agreement that was keeping the SNP in government because they didn't have an overall majority themselves.
And now?
And Mr. Yousaf decided that it would be a good idea to preempt the vote and kick out the Greens and end the agreement without having much of a plan, it seems, for what happened after. Because
clearly not.
They did not have a majority in the in Holyrood themselves, the SNP, and so they were relying on the support of others. And that other person was his former leadership rival of the ALBA party. Which is not good.
Yeah.
So they were looking for concessions, and which basically the SNP weren't prepared to give them, or even if Humza was prepared to give them, the SNP weren't. And so I think conversations were had over the weekend. He was told, you have to go. And on Monday, he announced spectacularly that he was gone.
That he's gone.
It seems to be that between Westminster and Holyrood, there's quite a lot of similarities in terms of chaotic parties in government, because the SNP saga that has been ongoing could be, we won't.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes now and who the kind of successor will be. I have John Swiney, Neil Gray and Kate Forbes are the kind of three.
And Kate Forbes, who came second last time round. And it was Ash Regan, who was the ALBA SNP who defected to ALBA, so she won't be in the running obviously this time, but yes, I think there is a lot of, it seems to be the SNP is quite a divided party in terms of there is two camps now that Nicola Sturgeon and her husband, who has in a spot of legal trouble, are gone. Yes, just a tad. FYI for anyone getting into politics, don't buy camper vans with your party money.
Yeah, speaking of people buying, I think that Neil Gray replaced somebody, a minister that spent £11,000 of taxpayer money on an iPad or something.
Oh, yes, there was his blaming his children for racking up the roaming fees for watching sport. Yes, which is an in politics.
Not impressed, right?
No, when you get into a spiral of things going against you, it's very hard to get out.
It is.
And I think the SNP seem to be in that spiral at the minute. So
this is their second leadership contest now in 2 years.
Yes. And it will probably be equally divisive unless they just decide to get their act together, which Will they? Won't they? Remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen, but it gives plenty for Paul Talk to talk
it
about.
It does, and keep us politics students more entertained, highly entertained.
Highly entertained.
But, you know, there is obviously, as we were saying, the serious side to it that is, you know, and it does feed into this perception that politicians don't know what they're doing, which is hard to argue against when there is that carry on happening. Yeah, Cian just rolled his eyes. Deeply
I'm
frustrating.
I'm kind of fed up now, and I don't want to run for frontline politics. Like, to be fair, there's a lot of... Yet?
No?
I don't think I'll ever...
Okay.
I think I want to be in the background, just...
This is recorded, so it'll be played back to you in years ahead.
Look.
You know? You're happy to change your mind on it.
I don't know.
We on the unfortunately on the note of our future of political decisions or not, we may have to leave it there for today.
Yep.
But we say a big thank you to all our listeners, especially
thank
those from the society and our courses who are tuning in. And it's Caitlin and Co. I'm sure there was a few more of you, and much appreciated. And it will be back, I believe, next week for the last show.
Next week's the last week.
Sad, very sad. But we will be back in September.
We will.
So you haven't got rid of us that easily.
No.
Depending if we listen back to ourselves and think, maybe we should let someone else go on the radio.
I hope you all make it through the summer without Paul Talk, to be honest. Like, I don't know how you'll do it.
We'll be in here and just for thinking. Anyway, we'll finish off with Nothing But Thieves Overcome. Thank you very much, everyone. Turning back.